I will.
Oh, he's got to hold the book.
He's going to kind of stand on his side and share. Boy, this thing is hotter than a firecracker.
He can handle it. When the roll is caught up yonder.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is caught up yonder,
thank you, Wanda and Wyatt. Boy, wasn't that great? Boy, that was great. That was good. That was wonderful. We need more of that. Amen. That was great. Where did this week go to? It just seems like we was here last Sunday night. I don't know where this week has went. My time is on the move. Keep Wyatt's mother, Laura, in prayer. We forgot to put her, we should have had her on the prayer sheet. I thought about it this morning, and I asked Wyatt and Penny. She had surgery on the back of her foot, and she's laid up, and she is in severe pain. So keep Laura in prayer for recovery. Also, Dean had surgery on Thursday, emergency surgery for hernia. I think he's had one for some time, but he got complicated on Thursday, which landed him in the hospital, and he had surgery on Thursday for hernia. So pray for Laura and pray for Dean, both to have quick recovery without any complications. Thank you for coming out tonight on this traditional Memorial Day weekend. I'm always amazed, especially on holidays, on Sunday evenings, of the good attendance that we have. Of course, All churches are suffering in attendance, and all preachers are very concerned and very worried because attendance, since the pandemic hit a year ago, March, church attendance plummeted. I mean, big time. And so I am very blessed, and our church is very blessed to have the folks that we have. And thank you for being out tonight. Trust you have a good day tomorrow. It is supposed to warm up some tomorrow. I think tonight down to 42. And then warmer tomorrow, and then a gradual warming throughout the week. We've been looking, and of course we were off last Sunday night due to the missionary we had in for the children's home in Haiti. And we're discussing that. The men and I are discussing about possible support. That's on the back burner, and we'll be bringing it to the church as soon as we decide exactly which direction we're going to take. Because we have allotted in our faith promise 5 new missionaries. We've already taken on 4, and we already have allotted a 5th one, and we are looking into that right now. Now, on Sunday nights, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I started, and I didn't know really which direction. I was just planning a Sunday night service, a message, but it turned into a series, and it gets more involved as I go from week to week. And so I don't know exactly how long we'll be in this era. As I said when we were back studying the book of Zechariah, I want to study from a biblical perspective American history on Sunday nights. That's still my plan. We're looking into some good material. Boy, I want to tell you, that's hard to find. And but anyway, I've been given some contacts to look into. I've just been so busy the last couple of weeks, I've not had time to do any research. But I want, from a biblical perspective, to study on Sunday nights American history. Because a lot of these events that took place in our history are being denied and are being neglected. And they need to be surfaced, and they need to be known as Christians. The hand of God in the formation of this country. And so that's my plan ultimately. It may take us 2 or 3 months or so, maybe in the fall before we get there. I'm not going to start until I have adequate material that I'm satisfied with to be able to approach the subject. Now, so we've been looking at David turning the kingdom over to Solomon. And what one generation gives to another generation. That's where we've been the last 2 or 3 Sunday nights. And we're going to go back there again tonight and probably a few more Sunday nights, because as I begin to look at this, there's so much. And I've never studied David in light of where we went to in this study. But David, in the second half of his reign, really displayed weakness. Not procrastination, just weakness. Because the second half of David's reign was the years of reaping. And if we are reaping things that we sowed that was not good, then the reaping is never pleasant. We reap. If we sow good things, we reap good things, and they're always pleasant when we reap. Always. Lauren was sharing with me a testimony this morning up here on the front row how God blessed in a wonderful way this past week. That's reaping. That's reaping. I was absolutely astonished. And I'm going to tell this on the air. I probably shouldn't. But I did this committal for this family. Didn't know any of them. Had no, and found out this morning Lauren graduated with the man that I had the committal for. They handed me a card, and I told the lady, I said, the daughter, I said, I don't want anything. I said, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my ministry. He said, no. Family wants you to have this. So I stuck up my Bible, put it in the car, and Frosty and I drove on over to Coshocton to see Carol Bice. On the way back, a big tractor trailer threw something at my vehicle. I just got it 2 weeks ago. It's 2 years old, and it's got 30,000 miles on it. But I needed something because the SUV I had, I couldn't keep it on the road. He got up about 65, and it was like this. And I decided it's time to find another owner. So anyway, my son, who sells vehicles down in Parkersburg, found me this. And a nice little car, a little small SUV. It gets good gas mileage. It gets almost 30 miles a gallon, almost 32 miles a gallon. And I really like it. It rides well. The seat fits my back good and so forth. But something, I don't know, it was a rock or piece of tar or what, came flying right over and hit the hood of the engine, of the vehicle, and took a big, about the size of a 50-cent piece. Just took the paint and everything off and put a big dent on the top of my hood. And I will tell you, I didn't stop Frosty, and I told Frosty, I don't know what that was. But when I got home, I took a look. You talking about your feet down in your shoes, your heart down in your shoes. Man, I was eye upset. Boy, I'm telling you, I was infuriated. I was more than infuriated. Then I went in and took that envelope and opened it up, and inside that envelope was $200. It was $200 in that envelope, Frosty, that lady handed me. Now, that don't cheer you up, but that's God saying, I'll bless you, I'll take care, don't worry. Because, I mean, I was infuriated. I was really furious. I was upset. And that kind of took the steam away. That's the Lord speaking. The Lord's got a great testimony how God just wonderfully manifests himself and shows himself to us in times when we really need the manifestation of God in our lives. So anyway, been interesting to see the hand of the Lord in our lives as we travel along. And as we prepare to turn this society over to Wyatt and Jake and these two young boys that sat up here and others, as we began to phase out and these young people phase in, and congratulations to all that had grandchildren graduating from high school. Dave and Wanda. And anybody else have grandchildren graduating besides Dave and Wanda? Back there, yes. I saw them. Boy, they're tall boys. Them are tall boys. Nancy's two grandsons, twins, and graduated from high school. You have another one graduated. Yeah. Ann and I'll have our first graduate next year. He got one more year yet. We're going to turn this over. We're going to hand it over to them as we phase out of here. What are we giving them? What are we giving them? And you know, you talk to them and they don't understand what you're saying. They don't have a clue what you're saying. When you talk to them, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. Because they are growing up in what they think is, this is the normality. This is the normality. What we're living in, that's the normality. I learned a lot in communist lands as I grew up, as I went over and saw people grow up in freedom after being entangled with communism for so many years. Communism fell in Romania in 1989, and I'd already been over there under communism in 88, and went back right after the revolution of 89 and early part of 1990. And I saw people born. I saw people grow up in freedom. And they had no idea what life was like for mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, and their family under communism. And all they've known for the past 30 years is freedom. That's all they've known. They have no idea, and they have no clue. But they're about to find out again. And I've been warning them. And as I write and messages and so forth in our monthly magazine that goes out every month over in Romania, Moldova, and much of Europe as it circulates, what are we handing the next generation? Now, I want to show you an attitude. I'm going to inject right here an attitude. And it's not the first time I've injected it. In other studies, I've injected it. But it fits so beautifully right here tonight in our study. So you can look and turn to 1 Kings. That's where we're going to be, 1 Kings, chapter 1. Then let me show you an attitude, because it fits right in here. You get to 1 Kings, chapter 1. And then turn over to 2 Kings, chapter 20. Now, several years go by between 1 Kings, chapter 1, with David on the throne about to leave the earth, and 2 Kings, where Hezekiah is on the throne. Same kingdom, the southern kingdom, Judah. There's about 300 years, a little over, maybe 325 years has passed from David to Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. But like any other people, he's human and has human failures. Isaiah was the prophet during the days of Hezekiah. Isaiah came in one day and told Hezekiah, "Thus saith the Lord God, get your house in order, you're going to die." And Hezekiah, with a broken heart, turned his face toward the wall and began to weep and pray. And God said to Isaiah, "Tell him I'm going to add 15 more years to his life. I've seen his tears. I'm going to give him another 15 more years to live." It would have been better for Hezekiah to go when he did, when God, instead of having the next 15 years, because boy, the next 15 years was not pretty in Hezekiah's reign. Now, there's been kings, presidents, political leaders. There's all in the Bible. You have that from the time of nations that were developed. But God always had his man around. They run the world, their countries, their nations, politically. Whether they be kings or presidents or senators. They had senators. They had different cabinets. David had a cabinet of officers and so forth. Priests served in them and so forth. But God always had a man around. God always had his man around to look to make sure the country went spiritually correct. I'm going to show you this tonight. Tonight we're going to inject here the importance of God's man in declining days. When those that should keep a country in right direction, the importance of God's man in declining days. And we'll give you two passages. One in 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah, and the second one back in 1 Kings chapter 1, David. Two preachers, prophets they were called, but they were God's men. They were called holy men, men of God. Isaiah in chapter 20 and verse 16. Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord." That's what they were around for, to hear the word of the Lord. God spoke to the nations, to the leaders, to the leadership. through his man, men of God. Now, he's already got a reprieve. He's got 15 years added to his life. There's going to be healing. Isaiah said, you're going to be all right. You're going to live another 15 years. But he also has a message to him. He's got 15 years to correct some things that needs corrected. Listen to what is said. Behold, I want you to underline. If you mark in your Bible, if you don't, that's fine. Maybe make the notation. I want you to notice the days come. This is the message from God. The days come. There's coming a time. Future. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. You're going to be taken, and you're going to be overtaken. And of thy sons that shall issue, do you know that Hezekiah had a son after God gave him 15 years? He was born during that period of time. Hezekiah had a son after he was sick, and God said, you're going to come on home, get your house in order. Hezekiah broke down and cried. God gave him 15 more years. And during that period of time, Hezekiah had another son. That's why I said it would have been better for Hezekiah to go when God said, your house in order. Better just follow God's plan. And of thy sons that shall issue, that you're going to have in the future. And thy sons that shall issue. Notice the days come. The days come. This preacher called Isaiah is telling the king, Hezekiah, hey, the future's coming. You're on the throne today, but there's a future coming. There's days coming. And it's not only going to affect the kingdom, it's going to affect your home. And thy son shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget. Shall beget. Shall they take away. Indicating that he had more than just one son. I don't know. I know he had one. And his name was Manasseh. And you find him in chapter 21. And whenever Manasseh, in verse 1 of chapter 21, he was 12 years old when he began to reign. 12 years old. 12 years old. And reigned 55 years. And he was born during the time when Hezekiah got an additional 15 years to live. So immediately, after he's been told, you've got 15 more years to live, but I've got some bad news for you. There's coming an enemy, and boy, they're going to come after your family and your children that you're going to have. They're going to come after you and your kingdom and all that's in your house. And thy son shall issue, in verse 18, from thee which shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. It's not only going to affect Judah, it's not going to only affect the southern kingdom, it's going to reach into your home. Your children are going to be taken captive. Does it stir our hearts to think that someday in the future, that our children or grandchildren or our family that we had responsibility in bringing onto this earth is going to have to live under some type of captivity and tyranny? Does that bother us? It should. Watch the attitude of Hezekiah. This is Hezekiah's response to the message of Isaiah. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good. What? He just been told that his children are going to be taken captive and taken to Babylon, and they're going to serve another king in Babylon, and they're going to be eunuchs. And I'm not going to get into that. That's not a very popular study on a Sunday night, being made eunuchs. And they're not going to be able to live the freedom and the joy of the southern kingdom like you have, Hezekiah. The days are coming. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in, notice the last two words, there is the days come, and then there's my days. And what an attitude to have in my days after I've been warned about the days that's going to come and how it's going to affect me and my family and my children and my those that I was responsible for bringing onto this earth and how they're going to have to live and how I've lived. Good is the word of the Lord as long as I have peace and safety in my days. That's what's wrong in America tonight. In American Christianity, that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong right there. We've lost our families. We've lost our families. And we seemingly don't care. And what an attitude to have. And he had that little rascal Manasseh. And for 55 years, he turned that country, he turned that entire kingdom into devil worship. In 55 years, he turned it into devil worship. Turned the hearts of the people away from God. Out of Hezekiah. Now, folks, we can't have that type of attitude. There is the days that's coming, and there's my days. And bless God, we better be doing what we can do in my days to help my family, this country, or whatever, do all that we possibly can to help the course of the coming days so that people that live in those coming days can enjoy what I enjoyed in my days. Everybody with me? There it is. And that's what's the problem tonight. Christianity is hurting and suffering tonight because people are so selfish in my days. And they're not concerned about their children, their grandchildren. They're not concerned about their family being in church, coming to church. Doesn't concern them a bit. And just go on and live in my days. As long as I have peace and safety in my days, it's all important. What an attitude to have. It's amazing God didn't step down from the threshold of from heaven and take his backhand Hezekiah and say, hey, wake up, I just gave you 15 more years to correct some things. I just gave you a reprieve of life. I just gave you healing. And you have an attitude like this? When my man just warned you of what's coming for your offspring, for your children that you're going to bear. Been better not to bring them into the world than to bring them into the world and to put them into that type of environment. Man or man. And David said to Solomon, show yourself a man. Well, David, what is a man? What is a man? So there's the attitude of Hezekiah that followed 300 and some years later. Now back to 1 Kings chapter 1. He tells Solomon, chapter 2, show yourself a man. We studied that about 3 weeks ago. David, what is a man? What is a man? He says, show yourself a man, show yourself a strong man, and show yourself a faithful man. That was his message, threefold message to Solomon, his son. Then he left carryover. We called it leftovers. Three things that he told Solomon he had to deal with because he didn't deal with them. And they're all, two of them are bad, self-inflicted by David. Self-inflicted. Both of them have to do with the two conspiracies of two of his sons. Two of his sons, Absalom, the first conspiracy, self-inflicted. Reaping, number one. He left Absalom all to himself. He finally came back after Joab persuaded the king to bring this, him back, but Absalom never saw David for 2 years. And it was never right, even after he did. It was never right. And then to put on that charade after Solomon got killed, after Absalom got killed in battle, put on that charade to where Joab had to correct him again. What is a man, David? What is a man? You see, the king is God's man just the same as the prophet. The hand of the king is in the Lord. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. God says, I set them up. I take them down. Leadership is ordained by God. They're God's man. One may not be spiritually. One may be politically, whatever, economically, whatever. Reign, rule over God's program. But they're people of God, ordained of God, called of God. And one is ordained to keep the other correct. One is ordained to keep the other correct. And we just saw that with Isaiah trying to warn Hezekiah about what's coming and prepare for it. He said, nah, as long as I have peace and safety in my days, it's okay. That's all he did. That's it. Didn't do nothing. Now, 1 Kings chapter 1, we haven't read this yet. We've mentioned it. And we're going to go down and see the second man of God tonight that had to interject. In chapter 1, verse 1, now King David was old, stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, let there be sought for my lord, the king, a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. I guess they didn't have firewood back then. So they sought for a fair damsel. King David had to approve that. They said that to the king. They suggested that to the king. But the king had to approve that. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel and found Abishag, a Shulamite, and brought her to the king. The damsel was very fair, cherished. You can look up the word cherished or let your imagination. Very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. He had no physical relationship with her. Now, I could go into the ugliness of that, but I'm not going to do it. All I can say is, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. But that's what they did. So while the old and cold king has got a beautiful young virgin girl ministering and cherishing him as he lays upon his bed, tries to stay warm, things are not going well in the kingdom. Show thyself a man. That's what he said. David, what is a man? Whether he be old or whether he be young. What is a man? So while he's laying in the room with a young virgin Shulamite girl, and I'm not going to go into the goriness of it, but it's not pretty morally. And he allowed it. Things are falling apart in the kingdom. And the second conspiracy is taking place. While he's laying with a young virgin, the second conspiracy is taking place. Self-inflicted. You find in verse 5, we read this in closing 2 weeks ago. That's where we're going to pick up now tonight. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? David, what is a man, David? Show thyself a man. What is a man, David? Now, I'm being pretty hard on David. And all this is self-inflicted. All of this is self-inflicted. This should have never been, this should have never taken place if David would have been a man. Old men still serve. They may be old and they may be cold, but they still serve if they're a man. And a God-called man. His father had not displeased him. His father never called him in and said, what are you doing, boy? Nobody ever put you on the throne. Nobody ever anointed you to be king in my place. What do you think you're doing? Don't you know what your brother did and how he ended up? Now stop this. Never displeased him. Never said a word. Weakness. Now, meekness is not weakness. A man can be strong and be meek and not weak. So here's David allowing it to happen and never displeased him, never stopped him. Why hast thou done so? He said, why are you doing it? Nope, never did it. And he also was a very goodly man in the middle of verse 6. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, that's the top general of the southern kingdom, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah, helped him. So now you've got the top general that has betrayed David and followed the second conspiracy. He didn't follow Absalom. But the king is not leading. The king is not leading. He's just laying. Perhaps his mind on other things. Sad. Sad. This is what he's going to turn over to Solomon. His own mistakes. His own inflicted foul-ups. He is going to turn over to his son Solomon and had the audacity to tell Solomon, be a man. David, what is a man? If you're a man, you don't let things like that happen. There's times when you have to bring your son in and set him down and say, listen now, I'm your dad. I'm your dad. And as long as you're under my roof, as long as you sit at my table, that's what it's going to be. Parents don't do that anymore. Parents don't do that anymore. Children rule the roost. I'm not saying 100%, but predominantly. They rule the roost. It should not be. What is a man? Be a man. Then it goes on in verse 8, the ones that did not follow, Zodak and Benaiah and Nathan, and that's our man. Nathan is our second man of God tonight. For Hezekiah, it was Isaiah. For our study tonight in the second episode of turning over the next generation, what we have left over, we find the man of God, Nathan. They didn't go with him. And in verse 9, like all new kings do, they have a celebration. And Adonijah slew sheep, oxen, fat cattle, by the stone of Zoveleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren and the king's sons and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. They're having a party. Let's have a party. Verse 10, but thank God there's always somebody around that's thinking correctly. Maybe only be one, but thank God there's someone always around thinking correctly. But Nathan the prophet, and this is the same one that pointed his finger in the nose of David 20 years before this and told David, you're the man. You're the man. Nathan's still hanging around, keeping things running correctly. But David has jumped the rails. And Nathan is doing his best to keep things running according to the program of God. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. Oh, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a new king and I'm going to be the king. Invite all of my dad's family. Get them all down here. We're going to show who's the new king to set upon the throne. But he didn't call Nathan. And he didn't call Benaiah, and he didn't call Solomon. There were three men he did not call. Verse 11, wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and we all know who Bathsheba is, don't we? Huh? We all know who, before Abishag, that was Bathsheba. He says, came in and spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now that's not quite correct, Nathan. He does know it. You see, that's how far separated the man of God to rule politically and the man of God to rule spiritually have drifted apart. Nathan was very close to David. Very, very close. But David is doing things now that Nathan doesn't know because he's no longer welcome. He's no longer a part. He's kind of been put out to pasture. so to speak. And he doesn't know. David don't know this. Yes, David does know this, because we're told that right over in verse 6. His father did never tried to stop him and never said, "What are you doing this for?" He does know it, Nathan. Nathan just didn't know that David did know. It's a shame when the preacher, the man of God, is separated and put out and put away from people. And people won't let the man of God. And a lot of times the man of God has no clue what's going on in people's lives because he's been isolated. He's been isolated because people don't want him. They don't want him around. He'd been isolated. That's a shame. And he told Bathsheba, David don't know it. Well, Nathan, he does know it. You don't know it. You just found it out. That's sad. Now, therefore, he's going to instruct Bathsheba what to do. Now, therefore, come. This is the man of God that steps on the scene in the hour of the second conspiracy in David's life. Now, therefore, come, and let, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thy own life and the life of thy son Solomon. You know what's going to happen, Bathsheba. This man reigns, you're going to die, and so is Solomon, because he sees you as a threat. Go and get thee unto the king, David, and say unto him, didst thou not, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? Boy, sometimes a wife has to come in and set her husband straight. You know, men have to get straightened out at times. Verse 14, behold, while thou yet talkest thee with the king, I will also come in after thee and confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag, there she is. And Abishag the Shulamite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed. I don't understand that. That's my wife. I know you're the king, but you married me, and we got children. And I have to bow to you? There are just things in the Bible that there are things in the Bible I accept because God gave it, but I don't understand it. And I know, I'll tell you what would have happened in present day activity. Bathsheba would have come in and grabbed that back of the head of Abishag, and she'd have been thrown out the door. Amen? Amen. I just don't understand this. I believe it because God said it. Thank God we don't live like they did back then. Now, so Bathsheba went in unto the king in verse 15. In verse 16, Bathsheba bowed and did obedience unto the king and said, what wouldest thou? You know what he said? What do you want? What do you want? This is his wife. If I'd have been Bathsheba, I wouldn't have only grabbed the back of head of Abishag and thrown her out the door. I'd have had a ball bat in my hand and I'd have whapped him one up alongside the head. And would have told him, hey, you've caused enough confusion in this country. You and I have caused enough trouble in this country. It's time we get things turned around. You're going to die one day. It's time to be a man. What do you want? And then he has the audacity to tell Solomon, be a man. I'll tell you, these people are characters, Bible characters, we call them, but they're human. They're human. There's nothing special about them. They're human. They're anointed. But so are we. We got the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. He lives in us. We're the temple of God. What wouldest thou? What do you want? And she said unto him in verse 17, Lord, my Lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, saying, I'm not your wife, I'm your handmaid. Oh, really? Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my Lord, the king, thou knowest it not. And he has slain oxen, and he goes down through that and so forth and tells about all that's going on and so forth. In verse 22, we'll pick up for the sake of time. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet came in, and they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself. He bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my Lord, O king, thou hast said, Adonijah, hast thou said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne, for he is gone. And he talks about the big party they're having and so forth, and who's invited and who's not. And he says to him, Nathan says to the king in verse 27, is this thing done by my Lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant? Now David knows it. We know that over in chapter 1, the first few verses. And well, he knows it. And Nathan now is now questioning him. Is this thing done by my Lord? In verse 27, the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on thy throne, of my Lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. Call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence, stood before the king, and the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress. See, he just got back on the rail. He just got back on the rail. He jumped the rails. The king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, and hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my Lord King David live forever. And then David called for Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, the three that was declined invitation to the party, and was told to go get the king's mule, set Solomon upon it, and declare him to be king. And the right king is now on the throne. It took a man of God to appear on the scene to get things straight and keep things straight. I want to tell you tonight what the answer for this country is preaching. Thus saith the Lord. And you know what the problem is tonight? People don't want to hear it. The answer for this country tonight, this biblical, God-founded country that has on its currency and on many of its monuments and public buildings, in God we trust. The answer for this country tonight is, thus saith the Lord. And preachers are to blame for fear. You have to walk on eggshells for fear of preaching something that people don't like. That should never be. Should never be. Isaiah appeared on the scene of Hezekiah and tried to warn him, and you got 15 years, son. You better do right. Paid no attention. In David's life, before he died, Nathan the prophet went to Bathsheba and said, we better get this thing turned around. Now you know what he told you, and I know what God told me. And it's not that man down there having the party. It's your son Solomon. That's who God's program has. We better get this thing turned around, or you're going to die, and so have all the rest of us, because we were not invited to the party. They got it turned around, and before the day was over, Solomon was king. Who helped? Has Isaiah tried to help Hezekiah? Paid no attention. Paid no attention. Nathan appeared on the scene twice in David's life, twice to get things corrected. The day he pointed his finger and said, "You're the man. Better get things corrected, David." And now he appears on the scene the second time to get things corrected. When we fail to have the importance of the man of God in our country and in our nation preaching the word of God, we are in danger of total destruction. Because this is, I don't care what they say, and people and presidents can say this is not a Christian nation. They can declare from the housetop all they want to. But I know this country was God-founded. And it was founded upon the biblical principles of this Bible. And when we preachers are no longer welcome to preach the clear word of God that God sends through the preacher to the people and to the society, we are in danger of total destruction. And that's exactly what happened, because Hezekiah paid no attention. Didn't want to hear it. Ah, my days. All I'm important in is my days. That's it tonight? Importance. And I'm not elevating myself up in any way. I'm elevating the position that God, not the person, but the position that God has. And boy, when people stop out of the church mad and angry, and preachers say, preachers talk. And I tell you, it's discouraging days. Discouraging days. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Unless we get back to God and get things turned around, get this country back on the rail. We've jumped the rails. Unless we get it back on the rail, what are we turning over to the next generation? How can we say to our grandchildren, how can we instruct them? David, how in the world can you instruct your son after doing, being off the rail so bad, messing up as you've done in your second half of your reign? How can you tell him to be a man? Other than just out of experience. There was always with the king a prophet to keep him guided correctly. Always. And we've had presidents in our country that were very friend with high profile evangelists. And we've had that over the years, and many of them were in the White House and all of that. We can't do away with God's man in this hour, and we're living in this country. And it's endangered. Preachers are becoming endangered species. You now have the opportunity, if you would like, to adopt an elephant. I am not joking. I had to put it on rewind and listen to it three times to make sure I heard it correctly. You can now adopt an elephant. I'm serious. I'm serious. Anybody else hear that? Yep, there's several hands. You can adopt an elephant. I don't have any problem with the animal kingdom. God created it. I don't have any problem with the animal kingdom. Day of insanity. Total insanity. It's the last days. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Have a blessed day tomorrow. Enjoy this great day of liberty and remember those that have given all that we might enjoy our Memorial Day this 2021. It may be our last. All right? Thank you for coming out tonight. It went a little bit long. And our Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can learn. Paul wrote in the Corinthians, these things were written for our learning, for our examples. They're written for us to learn from the mistakes and the failures of others. Written there to guide us in these days in which we live today. And Lord, as we continue our study through this on Sunday nights, looking at some of the things that Solomon had to inherit and how he dealt with it and how he handled it, will be our study in the next couple Sunday nights. Holy Spirit, be our guide and help it benefit our hearts in these days in which we live. Thank you for this blessed Lord's Day, this oasis in the desert, in this crazy world we live. Thank you we have this place to come apart and meet here with you and with thy people and thy word. Praise and sing to thee, pray to thee, and offer sacrifices of praise to our great God and Savior. Thank you for the day and all that you did in our hearts. Give us a great day tomorrow as we enjoy our freedom in this great country and memorially remember all of those that protect us to keep us safe. And now, Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you for coming out this evening.